guys, and welcome back to this week's episode of the Let's Be Real podcast. I'm Sammy J. Today, I got to chat with Ben Barnes. He's an incredible actor. You may have seen him in Westworld, Shadow and Bone, Chronicles of Narnia, and much more. Ben actually just came out with an EP called Songs for You, and I genuinely love this EP. It brings me happiness when I listen to it. It is so soulful. Ben, if you're listening, thank you so much for coming on my podcast. I really enjoy this conversation, and I know all of you will too. I hope you guys enjoy. Ben, welcome to my podcast. I'm so excited we figured this out.
Thank you for having me, Sammy.
I have to say, your EP, Songs for You, I'm obsessed.
Are you?
And I'm not just saying that, because here's the thing.
That feels nice to hear.
When a lot of people go into music, they generally do the basic pop standard, nothing really original with it. But I got some Michael Bublé vibes. I got a little bit of Queen in there. And it's just, it feeds my soul.
That is the best review I will ever get. It feeds my soul. That's what I was going for.
Well, you nailed it.
That's what music does for me, though. I think growing up, particularly like Queen, is like the sound of me being 10 and 12 and 15 and 40. But also like all those Ray Charles and Etta James, all that kind of mood music is like everything that I aspire to be and feel. And I love all that Rat Pack stuff as well. Christmas music, all of that stuff that's like nourishes your soul, like you say. And so I was just trying to, I didn't quite know what my music would exactly sound like. I didn't have an exact thing in my head, but I knew I wanted to like sprinkle a little bit of all of their gold dust into my cauldron and see what was spat out the other side.
Yeah, well, like, let's get into that. You almost put out music like 20 years ago. And now you're coming back around to it. Why didn't you then? And what makes you go back to it now?
So I think it's a few things. When I was 19, I signed to a music manager and I was singing some jazz stuff. And it didn't kind of pan out the way that I hoped it would. It was the very first year that any of those like Pop Idol, American Idol shows came out. And that just took over. And that was the only music thing anyone was interested in. And my dreams kind of slipped through my fingers like sand. And I kind of got a bit disillusioned with it and thought maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. But I wasn't really writing my own stuff. I was doing impressions of Sinatra or Nat King Cole or Stevie Wonder. Or I would do tribute concerts and soul nights and all those things when I was in high school and stuff. But it was never like me. And I didn't know like what I wanted to sound like or what I really wanted to say. And I think after being kind of disillusioned like that, the thought of writing my own songs and putting them out, just I got a little bit, I think I was just a little bit fearful of what the judgment of that would be.
Yeah.
Not having complete confidence myself, what that would sound like. And if I did know what it sounded like, what would I want to say?
Yeah,
and I think it just takes some of us sometimes a little bit longer to make good on our deals with ourselves, the promises we make ourselves that we'll prioritize this or do this in our lives. And I think during the pandemic, I spent a lot of time talking in my head to like the 80-year-old version of myself saying,
who didn't? What a pandemic is for.
Totally. We all had these crises of identity, but I was speaking to Grandpappy Barnes saying like, you're going to regret not doing this in your life. There's nothing to be afraid of. Like there's nothing that, like anyone who would judge it negatively, I'm not particularly interested in those people in life. And it might put a smile on someone's face. And honestly, 2 days after I put out my first song, there was this video, I think it was a TikTok of this girl dancing in her kitchen, smiling, spinning around, listening to my song. And I was like, this video alone is worth making the album for. This is like, I'm so happy to watch this right now. And then people were doing like pole dancing and like ice skating routines to it. And like, it's like, talk about feed your soul. Like, that did it for me.
It's like you miss all the shots you don't take. And I think putting yourself out there can be really scary and vulnerable, especially as an actor, when people see you, you're different characters. You haven't put yourself out there, and putting out your music is putting yourself out there without any mask. What has that been like, stepping into yourself in this new time of your life?
Yeah, that's very astute. And that's exactly, you know, I feel like I've been nudging myself towards this for the 20 years of my career, where I look at a character and I try and syringe pieces of myself into it. And I try and make those characters, even if they're like psycho killers or like, you know, as far from me as you could possibly get, I try to find a little piece of myself that I can just butter that toast with, just to make it feel honest and grounded and truthful. But I think it just became time for me to offer something into the world that was more innately and purely and authentically just from me, and about me. And that's what this Songs for You EP became.
And that's what's so beautiful. I feel like everyone came to their own realization during the pandemic, whether that was finding a new passion or coming across a passion that they forgot they had. Was there a specific moment where you're like, okay, I have to do music? Or was it like a continuing thing where you just kind of happened?
I think it's always been a continuing thing. Like, I've always had like notebooks that I've written, like little phrases people say or little things that rhyme in my head or something I've read somewhere. And I'll often like type that in my phone and then put it in a notebook. You know, I spend hours sitting at my piano there, and kind of, not that I really know anything about music, but I'll just move my fingers around till it sounds scrunchy to me and it sounds like a feeling that I've had. So it was a little bit painstaking from that perspective, but it's always been something that I wanted to do, but the pandemic really, really sped up and rushed through that feeling of if not now, when? Like, you don't want to regret not doing this. And so it just became very clear to me, and that was very freeing. That really like released me. Like, when you put out music, it's called a release, and it feels like I've dropped something. I've let go of this like expectation of myself to do this, and the really beautiful thing is no one can ever take it away from me. Like, I am forever now a songwriter and a singer and a musician.
Yeah, you know, you have that title now, and I think one of the great things about, just like, I know that feeling, like for me that's releasing the podcast when we were planning a season and it's releasing it. I'm like, oh my god, okay, it's out in the world, people can interpret it in any way that you want, but you did your job, and that's all you can do. And if you're happy with it, that's what matters.
You made this, and no one can unmake it.
Exactly. Exactly. Where did your passion for music start?
My passion for music, I think my dad probably, he would play like all these 70s rock bands, like the Stones and the Beatles and the Who Classics. And the Eagles and Queen, and just all these brilliant bands would, you know, when he was at home, he would be blasting those. And so I think that's probably where it started. And then I would like root around in the back of his vinyls and find the Ray Charles, and I'd find the Rat Pack stuff and like all of that stuff that he had but didn't play as often. And then when I was in school, I would play the drums in like big bands. My first ever job when I was 15, I played the drums in a West End London production of Bugsy Malone.
That's awesome.
And I've done a lot of things in my life that other people might think were exciting, but I've never felt cooler than when I would like in the middle of a class on like a Wednesday, because we'd have a matinee at like 11 o'clock in the morning, I would stand up and be like, sorry, I've got to go. I've got a job being a drummer in the West End of London.
I gotta go be a musician right now. Sorry.
In the middle of a class to stand up and grab your drumsticks and be like, peace out. I have never felt cooler than that.
Especially in
my
high school too.
Yeah. 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 Cause I wasn't cool and I didn't feel seen and I didn't feel like I felt totally invisible, I think, when I was at school. And so I think like just to have that moment of saying, this is something that I do that you don't know about, felt really good.
I totally agree. High school was not it for me. I'm very glad.
No, me neither.
To be out of it. If you're in high school and you're listening, no, it is temporary.
It gets better.
It gets so much better. And I heard people say that to me, but I didn't believe it. But I wish I did, because
I still don't understand those people who say, oh yeah, school was the best days of my life. And look, I can understand maybe if you were like the high school quarterback and like you were the king of everything.
I can understand. Who wants to peak in high school though? Like, who wants to peak in high school?
Well, I don't, but I can understand those people saying that was their you know, they remember it really fondly or whatever. But no, you're right. I'm playing the long game here.
I will say that High School Musical did me dirty because I thought going into high school, I would be like all these cute boys. And then no, it's like all these prepubescent eighth graders, like all joining high school. It's not what you think.
But that's because when you watch films, when you're 15, that those actors are 25.
Okay. Why don't people cast like the actual age?
I don't know, but I looked so young when I was 17. I looked about 14. And so I could never have played that age. And then when I was 25, I got cast in this pilot on the CW called Split Decision, which never made it to air. But it was kind of like that movie Sliding Doors. Like it saw like a girl's first day of high school two different ways. And like, depending on whether she sat with the cool kids or like the nerds, like it would see how her life went. And I was the jock, the quarterback. My name was Chris Kincaid, and I had like a letters jacket. But I was like 22 or something, or 23, something like that. I can't quite remember. But I was definitely thinking, now I'm cool enough to be 17.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
you've said it so perfectly. That's the thing about movies and TV shows. It just gives you a false sense of what life is like in some ways. But, you know, I will say something that I think is super interesting is you've played a lot of villains. You don't seem
more
like
recently,
a very, you don't seem like a very villainous person. You seem very nice.
Don't I?
You do look scary there. But the thing is, I think what's so interesting is in your more recent projects, it's often in a very dystopian world. You know, it's in a different universe and it's an escape, and music does the same thing. So I'm curious what draws you to kind of that escapism, to put your worries away, whether that's in acting or in music.
So I think there's two things. One is that I do love that escapist stuff, and I'm just a big fan of like fantasy stuff and just storytelling. I love to escape into series and stuff. I am an unabashed like binger of TV and movies.
Oh my God, what's your best binge?
Everything. Test me. I just finished Squid Game.
I haven't seen it yet.
Well, then I win because they're in the first one we've mentioned.
Can I tell you why I think I win this one?
Okay.
Because I watched Breaking Bad in 9 days.
Oh, I see what you mean by your best binge.
Mm-hmm. 6 seasons, over 45 minutes. It was that was like the beginning of the pandemic. I was like, I'm gonna do it.
That is actually incredible.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm impressed. I'm trying to think what my best binges are. I'm sure I did some seasons of what have I done really quickly? I'm sure back in the day I did some seasons of 24 or something like that. Nice. Very fast. I'm sure I probably tried to do it in 24 hours and failed epically. But I've definitely had a few of those. But I think so. I love all the escapism. But the main draw, I think, of those things, and the reason that I've sort of been kind of found myself this little niche of like villains, but not really villains.
Yeah. Like humans.
Humans.
It shows all the, yeah.
You've answered my, God damn you. Damn you, Sammy J. You've answered my answer before I've done it. But yeah, I like my quest in life, whether it's songwriting or just like the way I have friendships or the way I connect with people is always about like trying to see all the sides of it and, you know, just empathy and human. And so when I see these characters, I'm like, okay, so on Westworld, my character, this guy's a douchebag, but why? And then you find out in the second season that actually he's had this very strained relationship with his dad and doesn't feel like he's loved and is acting out like a baby, you know. And we all have this like Russian doll of ourselves. Like, I think like the stroppy teenager that we were, and
I love that Russian doll of yourselves. You're so right. Well, I've never thought of it like that. I see what you're saying though.
The hangry baby and the stroppy teenager, and then the like adventurous 20-year-old and the like, you know, trying to be more mature than you are 30-year-old, and then the slightly more together 40-year-old. Like we gather these things together of us, and they never go away. And then when we're tired or stressed or whatever, like these things like they they kind of come out in us. And I just think all people have the power to be everything and the capacity to feel everything. And so when I get these villainous kind of characters, I'm interested in telling those stories about hope. And if I'm the obstacle, that's how I fit into the story. But I want to find those little ways that I can humanize. And, you know, if the character is scary, where is he vulnerable? And if the character is cold, what can make him feel warm? You know, if the character is tense, where do we see those little moments of him relax? You know, I think I'm always trying to look at things from two sides. And I think that's what I'm trying to do with my music as well.
It's very interesting. I'm in film school, by the way.
Are you? Amazing.
Yeah. So I'm learning about just directing, camera angles and all this stuff. And I find it so fascinating the ways you can tell a story and how you can do that without even words. You can just do that through cinematography.
Totally.
What would you say your most impactful moment you've had on set?
I think there are so many. I think it's always actually useful to think about the moments in which you feel like you failed a bit, because then you can look back and see how much you've grown. And I think I remember being quite overwhelmed on the first Narnia movie and looking at these incredible sets and costumes and, you know, stunt departments and, you know, hundreds of extras on horses. And it's just this overwhelmingly wonderful life event for me. But I remember there was a scene where I was supposed to be kind of melancholy. And the director sort of said, oh, what's your sort of process to get into this? And I don't know if I even really had one at that point. Like I didn't know enough about what I was doing. And I felt a little bit ashamed that I couldn't sort of, wasn't giving him what he wanted. And I think now, you know, 15 years, 20 years later, whatever, like I've sort of pride myself on being able to put myself into any situation and feel any human emotion and convey that. But it's something that I've worked on really, really hard over a long period of time. So I think, you know, just being challenged, I think is probably the key moments where, and actually the kind of direction that I love from a director is once you've sort of garnered trust, if they just come up to you and sort of say, I don't believe you.
Ooh.
You know, just a very simple piece of challenging direction, because then you're like, okay, in this take, I must tell the truth. Or in this take, I must really listen to what they're saying, or something very specific like that. I think if you take one thing into the way that you're doing something, it often, like, everything else then just slots into place.
Okay, we have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about acting, specifically the auditioning process, your new EP, and much more. We'll be right back. Something that is very interesting that I want to bring up with you is I have a lot of friends that are actors, and something that I've realized is the job is auditioning. Like, that is the full-time job. And then when you get cast, that's great. But the full-time job is auditioning and oftentimes rejection. And that can be really hard, especially when it's constant and you're in an industry when there are, like, thousands of you, essentially. How have you dealt with that throughout your career? And what advice do you have for people who are listening that want to get into acting or are, but they're coming back with just rejections after audition and audition?
I mean, I think there's no way around that. You have to develop a bit of a thick skin with it, and it doesn't stop at auditions. You know, there are films that I did early on in my career to which the response was so critical and negative and poisonous. And you have to develop a bit of a thick skin and remember why you love it and remember why you keep pushing and remember why you kind of hang in there. I think with auditions, it's about reframing it to an opportunity for you to show them what you would do with this material. You look at these words and remember that you'll only really ever get cast in anything because you're you, not because of some magic trick, circus trick that you'll pull off. Yes, maybe if you can do a certain skill or do a certain accent, that will help. But actually, they've got something in mind when you walk in, but everyone who watches you walk into a room wants it to be you. They want to find the person. So if you come in with all of your you, all of your essence, all of, like, what you took from these words, and it's an opportunity for you to present what you make of what you've read, basically. And And if you leave that in there, then you can never have any regret about what you offered them. And if they didn't choose it, it's simply because they had a different idea of what it was, not because of anything you did or didn't do. Trying to please other people is never going to be the way forward. It's going to be the thing that it's going to be, do it the way that you want to do it. And if you keep doing that, eventually someone will respond to that. It's about sort of authenticity, I think. Yeah. Something people respond to something that feels honest. But there's no way around it. It's an industry that you have to develop a little bit of a thick skin and sort of. Somebody once told me you walk into the room, believing that that job is yours, and walk out of the room, knowing that it's not, and then it will always be this like incredible surprise if you do get the job, but you won't ever be like gutted to your core. But having said that, there are always those few jobs that you've auditioned for which you're just like, oh man. How did I not get that job?
Is there a movie that you wish you were in? And if so, what character would you have played? Could be a classic. Could be a more recent one.
Oh my God, I'm sure there are so many. I will tell you the one that stung for me many, many, many years ago. I did about 10 auditions for a film called Across the Universe, which was a Beatles movie. And Evan Rachel Wood starred in it with Jim Sturgess, and Evan Rachel Wood then was in Westworld. And I remember telling her, many, many years later, like I wanted to be in that film with you so badly, because it was singing Beatles.
And you love the Beatles too.
It was singing Beatles songs in a movie. It was just unbelievable. And when I'd done sort of 10 auditions for it, it was just crushing to not get that one. So there are always going to be a few which kind of sting, but then you look at all the things you did do and that collectively made you who you are.
Yeah.
Do
you think you're going to be prioritizing music over acting going forward, or are you going to find a balance between the two?
So interesting you said prioritizing, because that's actually one of the reasons I did it, was because it was pointed out to me that your priorities are the things that you actually prioritize, not the things that you tell people are your priorities, because those are just like the ways you want to be seen. Like,
yeah.
Because I remember I said, my priorities are, playing more music. My priorities are, having a family, doing this, that, and the other. And I think it might have been my mom who said, your priorities are your work and your friends and your family and those things, because those are the things that you actually spend all of your time on.
Go off.
And the other things are just like ways that you want to see yourself and things that you aspire to spend more time on, but they're not your priorities. And that was a real like spin around moment for me of like, I need to start prioritizing the things that I think that I want to make my priorities. Otherwise they won't, I'll look back and they won't have been my priorities. So I think that's an important word, what you prioritize. But I think, I prioritize my acting and my job and the thing that makes me feel like me. But I love music so much and I always have. And it's always been such a huge part of my life, just not in a sort of more public sharing kind of way. Yeah. But I love that feeling of sharing it, so far, at least. And so I definitely want to do more of it and try and find a balance and try and find a way to keep doing it like this, because it feels... Honestly, even just this, doing this chat with you now, like it feels so much better to be talking about the way I really see things rather than a script that I didn't write.
Yeah, and just promoting something because you have to, but something that you actually created. And that's what's so beautiful about it.
That I made, yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. I have to ask.
Yes.
You're a very private person, which I think is so important, especially nowadays, because everything is put out there, sometimes too much, you could argue.
Yeah.
And in your music, it's very honest and heartfelt and authentic.
Yeah.
What has that been like so far, just the response and sharing your life and your thoughts and your feelings when you haven't had before?
Well, I think part of it is just by virtue of, when I was young, journalists would sort of say, if you want to be an actor, you have to answer these kind of questions about this, that, and the other. And I think that it's really important to draw that personal line for yourself. And it's different for everyone. And that's actually completely okay. But different for everyone what you want to share about your life, in the same way that everyone is in control of their own Instagram. You can pretend your life is as cool and sexy as you like, but it might not make you very happy. And I think that, you know, my mom is a, you know, like a sex and relationship psychotherapist. And she was always, you know, teaching the importance of having your kind of particularly your romantic relationships, but even your like friendships and stuff, they're yours. And yeah, they are, you know, they are your support system when the world feels, you know, it should be you against the world, not kind of you off. If you offer up everything that you are publicly, then everything that you are publicly is up for scrutiny and up for criticism, and then you've got nowhere to lean because they've all been a part of it. And I think that so that became clear to me quite early on. But actually, as I get a bit older, I realized that, you know, what you do with music is you share it. What you do with stories is you tell them and you share them. And I think that the things that have made me feel buoyed and comforted in times when I've been low is realizing that everyone feels the same things pretty much.
Yeah.
The lows feel the same kind of low. You know, anger feels the same, guilt feels the same, misery feels the same for everyone. So being able to understand that everyone feels those things and everyone is confused and everyone is like trying to see things from, you know, other people's perspectives in the same way, that struggle is the same. And I think that I realize there is absolutely no harm in sharing a little bit more of that about myself and trying to be an encouraging, and actually I'm a very hopeful person, so all my songs have an element of hope in them.
Yeah.
And so you know, to bring a bit of that hopefulness and joyfulness and soulfulness to my characters and also to the songs, if it can get someone dancing in the kitchen, then, or if it can get someone like crying to it with a cocoa because of something that's happened in their life, that's all good too.
And I think that's one of the things that is so important and something that I unintentionally am trying to do with this podcast, is that something I realized just starting is how the media has taken the human out of the person, and how you read a headline and they become a figure that is on a pedestal, but they don't cry. They're just not a human being with a heart and that bleeds. And I think that's what's so great about you sharing more with your music, is that you're letting people back in on you, that you are a human.
Totally. I want people to understand that, because my humanness is actually probably, I think, the best thing about me.
Exactly. Like your flaws and everything, it makes you you.
So I wouldn't mind people sharing that and knowing that. But I can't begin to tell you how many people that I know personally that I've met that are in the public eye that are just so entirely misunderstood and so entirely misjudged by virtue of how people are keen to portray them, because they fit a certain, you know,
they fit a narrative that people want to portray.
A narrative, exactly. It's very rare that you come across someone in real life when you get to know them a little bit whose humanity isn't front and center.
Exactly. And I feel like that's one of the things I'm trying to do with this podcast. If one person listens to this and realizes, like, we're all human and like, that's okay.
Totally.
You should embrace that.
Well, you're already doing it, because me and you are talking about it right now. And
I love that.
Someone's listening.
By the way, I saw an interview you did in September of 2020 where someone brought up you about doing music. You're like, oh, I don't know. And then someone said about doing it by the time you're 40. You're like, oh, then I'd have to get on that. You went on it and you did it.
I got on it. Step on it. I totally did. I think I may also have already been like toying with the idea when I said that, because that, again, old me would have been very careful about that. But
who's new Ben Barnes? Who's new Ben Barnes?
The new me. The new Ben Barnes is the most me.
Love that.
Yeah, I think I feel more me, being like, I don't feel necessarily like I have to be all things to all people, which I think is the thing that I have been a bit guilty of, like just wanting to be exciting enough and funny enough or, you know, tough enough or whatever it is that I'm, you know, when you play all these different types of characters, you kind of want to be those things for the people that saw you that way. There's the person that I am on a Sunday underneath it all, you know.
Yeah. Okay, we have to take one more quick break, but when we come back, we'll dive into your new EP and much more. We'll be right back. And we're back. As you know, I love your new EP. You know what my favorite song is?
I don't, but I have to say, like, knowing what people's favorite one is and why is like the thing that I'm most excited to find out. So hit me.
Okay. So first song I listened to was 1111. Which I love, because I feel like it puts you in a good mood. I feel like you can listen to it in different settings, whether you're in a car ride, whether you're just jamming out in your room. You can do it all. But I will say one song that I think I love that I'm excited for people to hear is Not the End.
Oh, yeah.
I think the lyrics and the melody are so beautiful.
Oh, good.
What was the process in writing that one?
So it's a few things. One, my dad, when I was a kid, used to say to me that John Lennon quote about if it's not okay, everything will be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end, which is like typical John Lennon genius. But at the root of it is this very simple, beautiful thing, which is basically like, you know, taking someone's hand and saying, hey, you okay? No. Okay. It will get better. That's basically what you're saying, which is the best thing you can ever say to anyone, because it will change. Things will change inevitably. The only thing that we're sure of is that things will change. And then I was thinking through like all this like cliche life advice. And I was actually watching I was seeing the commercials that were like mocking people stitching those like live, laugh, love
on TikTok.
Signs, which like old ladies have. No, I don't know about TikTok, but it was on television. It was like a commercial, I think, that was mocking it. And then, and I was like, but do you know what though? When people tell you that stuff, they're trying to do a good thing. They're like trying to like be there for you. And even if it sounds like a cliche, like all of those phrases that we tell each other, like, you know, got there for a reason. And so I was like listing all of the cliches I could think of that were like about support. I was like, what if I put these all in this song, which I did. And then what if I try and reclaim this like live, laugh, love thing as like, I'm not going to say that to you, but like, what if I put big like gospel-y backing vocals on?
It's a vibe.
Like, so it goes live, laugh, love. And I'm like, what if I make that sound like a bit vibey and like put some organ and make it sound like a bit like Doobie Brothers-y? What if I make, give it a bit of that, like some soul? What if it's one of those songs you can like put on in the morning and just go, yeah.
Oof.
Woof. Oh, I like that. Do that again.
And I get excited. I go, oof.
Woof. Woof. Yeah, sometimes I do that when I get excited. I go, woof.
it's kind of similar.
Or when I'm shocked, I go, woof.
Yeah, I feel that. I make a lot of sound effects, I'm realizing. When I sit down, I'm like, ugh. And I'm just realizing that comes out of my mouth and I don't even realize it.
Well, you're not 40. When I sit down, I go, ugh.
I do that. And it's kind of concerning to me that I'm already doing that. I'm like, when I'm 40, what noises am I going to be making?
Good ones.
Good ones is the correct answer.
Thank you. 10 points for me.
I think you should do Broadway. Just thinking. Because it brings together acting, storytelling, music. Have we thought about this?
Yes, we've thought about it. But here's the next question, which maybe you can answer. What show should I be in?
Ooh.
Because I do love musical stuff. Like that's where I started off. Like in my teens, I would do that stuff. And I've done a couple of professional ones when I was very early 20s, but I haven't touched it in so long. And but I would want it to be something really good.
Okay. Right off the bat. Three Hit off me. The top of my head. One. Waitress. Okay. There's a great guy role in it with some great soulful music in it.
That is true. The Doctor, yeah.
Two, if you're into more of a storyline, I say Dear Evan Hansen, because that hits different.
But who am I going to play? The dad?
I mean, why not? He has some good songs. To Break In, A Glove, if you know that.
I do know that. But both of these roles are on stage for about 20 minutes.
But here's the thing.
I'd be sitting in my dressing room. I want to be in it. I want to be involved. If I'm doing something, I want to be involved.
Would you ever make a musical?
Yeah, maybe we should just write one. Maybe you should write one for me. Maybe we should write one together.
Honestly, I think that'd be fun because I think there's something about musicals that are so underrated nowadays.
Totally.
I'm from New York City, to give context.
But they're coming back. They're coming back with like obviously like the with the movies of like Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen and In the Heights and, you know, all of that stuff and Into the Woods even.
Into the Woods.
I love that musical. I would do that. I want to play The Prince and the Wolf.
Both?
Yeah, both. It works really well when you do both.
You know what? Something like eight shows a week, you're doing both characters. That would deserve a reward, in my opinion.
No, that's the way forward for sure.
So what are you working on now?
Yeah, I just finished something like 2 days ago, which is a new Netflix anthology horror show that Guillermo del Toro has put together called The Cabinet of Curiosities. And every episode has like a different story and a different cast. And they're all like horror stories. And I did one with Crispin Glover that is very creepy. And I always said I would never do horror because I am too scared and don't like I don't like being creeped out. I don't mind like being shocked and I don't mind thrillers, but I don't like feeling like creeped out.
Yeah.
But I couldn't say no to like Guillermo del Toro, and this, and the script was so cool. And I was like, and I got to play this character over like sort of 25-year period. So I was like, I have to do this. So that will be coming soon.
See, Ben, now I'm torn because I hate horror, but now I want to see it.
But you love me. So
but I love you now. We're friends now. So now I'm torn.
Well, just watch my episode.
Okay, I will do that. And I will
let
you know.
It is very creepy and it is really disturbing and the ending is terrifying. So feel free to message me sobbing at the end going, why have you made me watch this?
Okay, when is this coming out? Or is there
I don't know, but I'm sure next year, I'm sure.
But you know, I need to mentally prepare for it. Now that I know there's a thriller at the end, I'm okay.
Okay, fine.
Do you know what I mean?
I was not fine shooting it. I was not fine. I knew what it was.
Were you scared shooting it?
I was, honestly. So I tried to trick myself by like, I tried to trick myself. I would get the director to like play me creepy music or like make banging sounds during takes or like, and sometimes I wouldn't look at something. I would do the rehearsal with my eyes closed so that when they did the first take, I could look at something for the first time. And I try not to give it away, but in the end, I did the rehearsal with my eyes closed so that I could not look at something. And then when I saw it, I was genuinely very, very upset.
See, I've heard horror movies like people on set being like, no, it wasn't scary, but you're telling me you were actually scared.
Well, I am a sensitive soul.
I mean, honestly, that doesn't surprise me, but you played a lot. You've had some gruesome deaths in your career.
I do die a lot.
You do. Now, why do we think that
is? Why do people want to kill me? Why do people want to kill me so much?
I don't know. I think we need to explore that in one of your songs.
My new album, Why Do People Want to Kill Me So Much? It's a different genre. It's like sort of grunge metal.
Some grunge metal add in with some nice orchestra.
Yeah, it's nice, but it's also a musical.
I will say, I am so happy. Do you have any plans for when this EP comes out? Are you doing any celebration or are you just going to be by your piano?
I haven't really thought about it, but I should definitely do something. I was away shooting when the first song came out. So I was celebrating on, like Instagram, like watching all these other people celebrating me, which was so lovely because I owed so much of why I did it to, you know, I started putting covers and things on Instagram a few years ago. And people, you know, started off by saying like, oh, this, you sound great. Or like, I really love this. Please do more. And then in the end, it was on Twitter. It was like, you know, where's the damn album? You keep sending me that little
that,
video.
That was a great imitation of Twitter.
Thank you. And so that is my imitation of Twitter. Yeah. And then, so then I was like, yeah, where is the damn album? I'm going to make it.
Got to do it.
So I owe them a lot. I'll celebrate there. But yeah, hopefully I should do something in the actual real world. IRL. See, I know things.
IRL. See, in real life.
I know internet things.
Nope.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
Just
failed.
For future reference, if you know it, don't say you know it.
And also don't get it wrong twice on a podcast before you then get it right.
But you know what? If you ever need help with some like slang, just let me know and I will tell you what it means. I do that for a lot of people actually in my life.
Great, great. I need that person in my life so badly.
Well, Ben, thank you so much for coming on my podcast.
You're so welcome.
Hopefully we can meet in person one day and not on Zoom.
That would be brilliant.
That would be ideal.
Next time we do this, we'll do it in a studio.
Let's do it. Oh my goodness. Yay. It was so great to talk to you.
Lovely to talk to you too. Thank you. You're so good at this.
Thank you.
Ben, thank you so much for coming on my podcast again. I love this conversation and I'm excited to meet you in person one day. If you haven't, please listen to and download Songs For You. The EP is truly incredible. Anyways, don't forget to follow Ben on social media. It's Ben Barnes. And follow me on Instagram at it's Sammy J. That's ITSSAMMYJAYE. And please subscribe to the podcast and leave a comment and a review because I always like to read. I read all of them and I always like to see what people say and I want your feedback. I hope you guys enjoyed this week's episode and I will see you next week. Bye.